Welcome to another Carl Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, I think it's appropriate, halfway through the Olympics, that we talk about the Olympics.
What? Are the Olympics on?
Yeah.
Have they started?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They're almost halfway through.
I better watch a bit.
Yeah.
I've been watching.
You might have missed the best part then.
Did you like the opening ceremony?
I didn't see the opening ceremony.
I didn't watch it all, so I'm lying if I say that, but there was one section there. They had drones. They had about, I think, 200 drones or something.
Yeah.
Up in, and they made a 3D sphere, like the world, and then they could move them around to have the different countries of the world. And I thought, how the hell do you do? It was spectacular to watch. But I'm really, I haven't looked, but I'm going to find out how they did that. It's got to be computer controlled, surely. There's no way that humans could control that many drones that successfully.
No. And while we're talking about technology, I was watching a little clip about the basketball, and they had a robot doing.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, free throws and getting it in. I mean,
a little bit slow on the release. Might get blocked a few times.
You know, I reckon that robot could almost throw a hammer further than what you could.
Probably would. There was interesting with robotic stuff. There was a challenge set. I don't know how long ago it was, but these people thought they could build robots that would be able to beat a soccer team playing soccer. Have you seen that? And they're getting better and better. Some of the robots now are pretty good. So maybe in the future we'll be watching the Olympics with robots.
Yeah, I suppose. All they have to do is go along and smash all the humans.
Maybe when there's in basketball, free throw, when there's you can actually bring on the robot to do your shooting.
Yeah, but
you can sub him in, him or her in.
He got them in, but they were rattling around in the basket, weren't they? They weren't sort of clear shot. You know.
Yeah, but from halfway, it was just like wham, bang. That was interesting to watch. Technology is fabulous sometimes.
Well, it kind of almost combines your two sports because the hammer throw, and of course, your son played basketball.
All right.
And you did.
And where's the robot come in?
Well, like I said, the robot, he felt like a hammer the way he threw the basketball.
Well, I'm sure. Robots are very powerful. I mean, I'm sure they could get them spinning around on the spot and letting something go.
That would be a sight to see.
It would be.
But, you know, getting on to the non-robots that are in the Olympics.
Are you sure?
How are the swimmers going?
Swimmers are smashing it. Oh. The girls especially.
Wow. I mean, have you heard of that swimmer before, Ariane Titmus?
I had not heard of her before, but I have now. And I've heard of her coach now too.
Dean Boxer. Did he put on a show and a half for us?
His celebration is pretty epic, and it will be one that's replayed many, many times.
His celebration was so good, we can forget about Laurie Lawrence.
I don't think so. Laurie Lawrence is very special, but Laurie Lawrence, I'm interested. Just a quick story. I remember we were at, it was before Barcelona, and we were at this factory warehouse in Germany getting our uniforms. And the media were there, of course. And, you know, when you get your Olympic uniform, there's different sort of, you know, they can be a little bit different. Yeah. Yeah. No, but just the style.
Yeah.
And the media, I was there watching, and the media asked this athlete about what he thought of the uniform. And I am pretty positive that this guy was about to say something derogatory. And Laurie Lawrence just stepped in before he could even speak and said, "This is the greatest uniform this lad will ever wear." You know, he just changed that. And it was like, and I thought, wow, you're so right. It doesn't matter what it looks like. This is the greatest uniform you'll probably ever wear. And I thought, wow, he would like that type of stuff. He was great with.
Well, Ariane, of course, she won two gold medals so far in the 200 and the 400. She beat that Katie Ledecky, the woman they said no one will beat.
Well, she has been unbeatable. So, I mean, and that itself is fabulous, isn't it? And I really loved in the pool after how they congratulated each other. It was that type of stuff which we don't always see in sport. I really enjoyed that.
Well, she got two gold medals, and of course, the 4x100 meter freestyle. You know, with Kate and Bronte Campbell and Meg Harris, and
they smashed that world record.
Emma McKay. Well, they're the first team ever to go under 3:30.
I know. That's like, I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? And they
4x400 meters.
Yeah.
4x100 meters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's kind of like you're watching it almost in disbelief. They're so far in front.
Powered away.
They won by like 3 seconds or something.
It's a world apart. Like, and at that level, I mean, we're used to seeing really close results. That is just amazing. It just shows the depth of our swimming, especially our female swims.
And then, of course, two gold medals in the rowing in the Coxless Four.
The new awesome foursomes.
Yes. Yeah, the woman and the men.
Yeah, that's
the woman
right.
and the men.
Yeah,
I mean,
fabulous. How often would that happen? I don't think very often.
The woman's four by the Coxless Fours, and they were in Barcelona, and I think this is only the second time they've been in the Olympics.
Okay.
So, congratulations to Lucy Stephan, Rosie Popper, Jessica Morrison, and Annabelle McIntyre. They got the job done. They led by about half a boat length in the last 500 or so, and they won reasonably comfortable.
Yeah, I haven't seen the races yet, but I look forward to watching them on replay. That's something I've enjoyed. Is they've got all the minis now.
Yeah.
So you can't watch everything, can you? But you can go back and go, I want to watch how the Matildas went in the soccer. I'll watch that 20 or 15 minute replay. So that's been really handy on the app, the 7 Plus app.
Now, the new awesome foursome. Now, when we say awesome, it's O-A-R.
It is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Jack Hargraves, Alex Purnell, Alex Hill, and Spencer Towan. Oh, magnificent. And I tell you, watching them, I felt like I was watching Central District footy game. I was getting so excited. Hang on, guys, hang on. And you know, to the naked eye watching them cross the line, it looked like they almost got beat. It was just so exciting.
It's hard not to get excited, isn't it? And that's another thing I've been enjoying is when they're having, because of obviously no crowds there, and they now have footage of family and friends back here in Australia cheering on people, and that's been great to watch.
You know, talking about that, I mean, in the surfing, first time surfing's been at the Olympics, and there was a guy, Owen Wright, representing Australia. He was injured in a surfing accident 4 or 5 years ago. The doctors initially were saying he may never walk again, let alone surf. And then surfing was announced as an Olympic sport. He set his goal. He made it. He got a bronze. To see the emotion, they actually showed on Channel 7, they showed his phone and his wife's phone as they were talking to each other. It tugged at the heartstrings, mate.
It's a fabulous story.
It was absolutely probably – that was television. That is good sporting television to follow up on the event.
Yeah, and it's all these little backstories that make the Olympics such a great event because, yeah, the competition is one thing, isn't it? But those little backstories about family and friends and struggles that people have had and had to overcome, yeah, they make a big difference.
And then you got Jess Fox, her third Olympics. She got the bronze medal in the kayaking,
the slalom
K1, and she had, what, two penalties?
She got two penalties early on. And I mean, it's such a tough event, isn't it? Like, I like watching those guys and girls in that slalom and then against that current, and you see them go through those waves and then drip down, then they've got to spin around and pull themselves back up. And you think, wow, they are immensely strong and powerful athletes.
Well, she got the bronze, and I think she's still got another race to go. But just watching those athletes when they go through those gates, and I thought, oh, that girl's missed it. But they said, oh, no, she's got her head around it.
Yeah, it's like because it's hard visually. I mean, you can see the gates, and sometimes it looks like, did they get it or did they miss it? I was watching one of our men the other day, and I thought he missed the gate, but he got no penalties at all.
Yeah.
And the speed at which they can – I mean, obviously the current helps, but what I was thinking they must have the best core strength out of any athletes because – they just the way they move themselves around that boat and then can change direction is spectacular.
You know, the only time in my life I've ever sat down and watched the kayaking in that regard is at Olympics. It's funny how the Olympics get you glued to your TV watching stuff you normally wouldn't even watch.
No, and that's why I think all these sports that normally we hear very, very little about, especially here in Australia, I'm not having a go at AFL, but we know that's what our media sort of is saturated with. So I think it's great. It's always a great opportunity. I mean, kids today at school were saying, oh, I've never enjoyed swimming so much.
Yeah.
And you sort of think, well, yeah, normally we sort of focus on swimming at different times, Commonwealth Games, Olympics, for example. And it is a great time for our Australian athletes to shine. Like, I've loved watching the water polo.
Yeah.
Like, I think, wow, this is a sport I've never really watched, but both teams are doing really well. And you see how physical it is. And that's been exciting. I mean, there's other sports in there now. Like I watched a bit of skateboarding the other day.
Yeah, good on you.
Two 13-year-old girls in the final. 13-year-olds.
How do you reckon you and I would go doing skateboarding?
No, that would not be. We would be end up in hospital. I know I would. Yeah, definitely.
I have been ice skating once or twice in my life, and I thought I did quite well because I was able to stand up.
You know, I've never been ice skating. I used to go roller skating. Did you? I used to go to the Elizabeth Roller. Yes. Did you go? Used to go there? So we used to play footy Saturday morning. And then we'd all head down to
And they had the strobe lights?
Yeah.
That's a, you and I are the same age group, so yeah.
Come on, you would have been there like 20 years before me.
Oh, so you didn't go to, you were actually 2021 then? No, it was a good time. I mean, that was Elizabeth, it's near where.
It's right next to the Aquadome there.
Yeah, near Hungry Jack's and all that. Yeah, it was a lifetime ago. I mean, I remember. On the other side of the Elizabeth Shopping Centre, at the other roundabout where the TAFE is, I remember playing volleyball in that hall that's there. I mean, the hall's still there, but it's all different now.
Have you watched any of the volleyball Olympics?
Not yet.
Oh, amazing.
In 2000, when I was over there in Sydney, I actually went and watched some volleyball, real volleyball, not the beach volleyball.
Oh, yes. What? You having a crack at the beach volleyball? That is volleyball. That's what? Real volleyball. It's just beach volleyball.
It's beach volleyball and... Whenever I tell people volleyball, they say, "Oh, the beach one."
So you can say that real volleyball.
Well, I just,
six aside versus beach.
Okay, six aside. It's I'd never heard of beach volleyball until about 20-odd years ago. Had you?
Well, it's a newer sport in terms of international stuff.
Yeah,
but people have played volleyball at the beach for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
It's tough playing in the sand.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. But it's a bit like, you know, with the basketball now, they've got a 3-on-3.
I know. It's,
is that real basketball?
Well.
Now, come on, say it.
I know FIBA are really pushing 3-on-3. Like when I was involved in basketball here, like Basketball Australia and the International Federation were really pushing 3-on-3. Oh, it's an Olympic sport. It's going to be this. It's going to take over. And I just don't see it take. I mean, again, we're a bit old, you know, but traditional-wise, but I much prefer 5-on-5.
You know, let's admit it. We are both old fellas. And
well, we're both over 50.
Yeah, we're both over 50. But I remember, you know, when I was playing volleyball, you know, six-a-side, blah, blah, blah. So I see the beach volleyball and I enjoy watching it, but I think to myself, oh, the real volleyball, because whenever I say volleyball, people think of beach volleyball. So, you know, you say six aside, though, people say, well, hang on, you can't get six people on a volleyball game. So it's a new understanding. So that's why I said real. And you'd have to say five-a-side basketball is real basketball.
I would probably have to back you up there, Rob, yeah. I have watched a bit of the 3-on-3, and it can be quite exciting. I mean, it's a bit like, I think beach volleyball and 3-on-3 are those type of sports. If there's a big crowd, they have the music pumping. It's that sort of hyped up sort of stuff, isn't it?
A bit like 2020 cricket.
Yeah, it's that sort of idea, I think, and sports are looking for something different. But it's interesting when there's no crowd there. Like it lacks a bit of that sort atmosphere. Of that atmosphere because they sort of come hand in hand.
Well, it feeds off it, doesn't it?
It does, and that it's designed for that. It's like this whole thing. It's like the skateboarding, all those things. They're more modern type of sports that a lot of younger people are into, and that's why the Olympics will change over time to be relevant for the younger society. So, but the crowd participation and the other sort of the cool factor maybe that comes with it. Is obviously missing.
Look, at the end of the day, it's all about acceptance. And like, I wasn't sure about surfing, but, you know, seeing Owen Wright get his bronze and the story behind it and everything, it excited me. So I've accepted it. So it's a matter of acceptance, really.
Well, same thing. With time, we all, like, you know, anything that changes, we struggle with. But over time, you know, in four Olympics time, if surfing's still in there, it's going to be people go, yeah, what's the big deal? Like, it's always been there. You know, we have a very short memory and we only have our own life. We'll be gone down the track and the next generation will take over.
Look, at the end of the day, beach volleyball, three-a-side basketball, whatever sport they want to put on there, if Australia's in there, I'll be barking for them.
Definitely. Go Aussies.
So ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.